It's not a Gemar Malacha, it's not a Maisa Uman, and therefore it's Mutter. And that's why the Rambam says, the Gemara says, the quote in Shulchan Aruch, HaMenar Talas Chadosha. Why Chadosha? Why Chadosha? Because it's Makab Epatnish. They also say it's Melabin, not so Poshim. And how do you define Chadosha? Look at the Kesef Mishnah Halacha. How do you define Chadosha? Huh? B'shosha umni mitaknin osa. So we see how important the Uman connection is with the Rambam in the very definition of Makeh B'Patsh. Oh. We already mentioned yesterday the Rach and I Hamid Beit in Shulchan Aruch. Hamanar Talas Chadosha. Why Chadosha? Why Chadosha? Because it's Makeh B'Patsh. They also say it's Melabin, not so Poshim. And how do you define Chadosha? Look at the Kesef Mishnah Halacha. How do you define Chadosha? Huh? So we see how important the Uman connection is with the Rambam in the very definition of Makeh B'Patsh. Oh. We already mentioned yesterday the Rach and I Hamid Bey is the last line that we're pulling these things off. Ha Uman no to la kismin. Only if the Uman is Makpin on it. If he's not, it's not. Because it's considered to be finished. Either Balabas is Makbis, or the Balabas is Makbis, like you have thorns. It's garnished. On this basis, the Binyan Shabbos is a very common case. Happens all the time on Shabbos. Oi, I forgot to take off the price tag. I forgot to take off the name of the company. Or the size Sims. We have to give a commercial. Sims. I forgot to take off the Sims before Shabbos. Is it Makab Patish to remove it? There's no Chas V'Sholem. Sims wants it there. The woman wants it there. It's such as Sims. Well, you know, the Europeans. Oh, Ferrara, but a papara. They want that the whole world should know. It's their suit. Oh, yeah. Doc, the woman's knocked the other way around to leave it there. Good advertising. That's not considered a problem of Makab Patish whatsoever. He wants it there. That's what he says. Fascinating. Rabosa, we saw a Gemara yesterday that mem ches, but muchin lekar, to put in the stuffing into the pillow. According to Rashi, it's makeh b'patish. But it's a very important Beis Yosef who said that's only because it's supposed to stay there for good. You make a pillow, and that's for good. But if you have something which you take in and out, it's not considered to be makeh b'patish. He gives an example. I put my belt in my pants. And let's say, if I don't put my belt in my pants, I can't wear my pants, they're going to fall down. So it's a Makab Patish. So Shabbos morning, you put your belt in your pants. Give out. No, it's Mutta. Because the belt is not meant to be in the pants forever. The belt is worn for many pants. The pants are worn for different belts. So therefore, it's Mutta. That's the base Yosef, end of Simon Shin Yud Zion. That's the cloud. That's the cloud. Things are taken in and out. That's the cloud. Fine. I want to now tell you what you sowed, which is of such critical importance. We only have a question how to apply it. And the sowed is enunciated most clearly by the Magid Mishnah in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis. The Rambam there says that if someone is mechaber gachelo shomatches potter, v'miskaven letzareif is chayav. Tziruf is the kind of annealing, the strengthening of the metal, which we spoke about briefly yesterday. Suga mem aleph mit beis. Frekt magen mishas a psik reisha. If you put it into the, it's a psik reisha. It's going to strengthen the metal, whether you like it or not. Psik reisha is oser. How can I be matter it? Answer the Magid Mishnah, fascinating yisod. There are certain cases in which the kavana is not just a general din and you need an alamates malachas, you need some kind of a kavana. No. In this particular action, absent kavana, it's not a malach at all. It's not a malach at all. Especially in these kinds of binyans and makab and patish kinds of malachas. And he quotes a Gemara, which we'll see later in Beit Salam and Gimel, Barichas, we learn the Sugya of the Cans. Hakosim, Kotem Kisim. If someone pulls something off to something which grows and you start shaping it. You can do it for one of two reasons. Either you want to smell it, I guess if you cut a little bit it makes a better smell, or you want to use it as a toothpick. Says the Gemara, if you want to use a toothpick, it's chayav, according to one day, and if you just smell it, mutter. Fred the Nagamisht again, sick ratio, you made it into a toothpick. The answer is, toothpick. Well, why are you calling it a toothpick? I'm calling it something which gives me a smell. It's only considered a malach if I have kavana to make it into a toothpick. And if I don't, such as a chason of Davashen and Miskavin, which would be overridden by the Chumrah Makab of Psikration. No, it's not a malacha in the first place. The same thing he says by Mapis Mursa, which you mentioned before. Mapis Mursa, you make a hole. If the whole team in the lake is to dig out with the pus, it's okay. But if it's Lassus Lepeh, to be a drain, if they put air to come in, it should be healthy, then Chayef, awesome. So again, the same question of Psikresha. The answer is, once again, there's no malach of, these things are not malachas kshalatzma. All these three things of Litzarev and of Mapis Mursa and of Kotem Kisim, you want to give them the status of bonus / Makabe Patish. They only achieve this status when there is a desire on the part of the person to yield this result. I'll give you some advance notice, but this is going to come up. A very interesting case. We will see next week, I imagine, the big discussion about opening cans and boxes and bags. We did it from the perspective of Korea, we spoke about it. Let's leave out bags. Now we're getting into the tough stuff, the metal, metallics, heavy metal, for myself. No more just plain bags, heavy metal. So we're going to discuss cans. I'm going to discuss those tops of what's called the screw-off tops and the bottle caps, which used to come in metal. They still have metal. I think in grape juice they're still making it from metal, though. Ketem is still up as... they changed to plastic. Quantum Shlomo Zalman is a tremendous ticket. Ketem is very machmir. But until recently we're using metal. And now they use plastic, which is also, we'll get to all the problem later. So Shlomo Zalman, Zichron Levroch, had the following idea. He said, he thinks that metal, he still thought, never changed his mind about metal. And to do a metal, to unscrew the thing, he's if Makabe Patish. We'll discuss why others disagree. You know what he said? When you want to open up the grape juice, open it up with the intention to take the covering and throw it in the garbage. Open it right into the garbage. Mutter. Why is it mutter? Because with this Magen Mishnah, he says that you're making it some kind of a kli. That's what Makabe Patish. But I'm just opening it to get to the grape juice and throw it right into the garbage. See here, I have to psik resha. No, with the Magen Mishnah, if the kavana is intrinsic, and if you don't have the kavana to make it into a top which can go on and off easily, then it's hetagama. That's where this can come up in real life, according to those posts. In real life, that's what it's discussed. In real life, it really happens. Oh. There are those who talk about this as an Issa of Doraisa. You may have seen an expression numerous times about metaken mona, maka bepadash and metikun mona, or sometimes you say tikun mona ba'alma. It means it's only the rabbanon. What's the rule? The rule is given by the poskim. If something is completely unusable and you make it usable, then it's maka bepadash the Doraisa. However, we mentioned before, if you have an implement which was bent out of shape, if it's bent to the point you can no longer use it and you fix it, that's makab apadish d'oraisa. If it's bent a little bit, you can use it the way it is. Use it the way it is. But it's not perfect. And you want to be exactly straight. That, the post can assume, is midrabbonim. That's that Mogan Avraham asked you to see in Shin Mem Sivkot Nyir Aleph. A macha chenis akim, a needle, which is bent. If it's bent to the point you can no longer use it and you fix it, it's d'oraisa. However, if it was bent just a tiny little bit, it will be the Rabbonan. Tikkun mona ba'al. So Rabbosai, we have to now spend a few more minutes on some of the klolim of Makab Patish. Perhaps the most elusive of the Lama Test Malachas. You can't pinpoint it. It's just sort of we're trying to define it. So the Sefer Binyan Shabbos, what a fantastic Sefer in terms of definition. Oh.
I missed everything up until here, so I don't know what everybody's in the middle of. So I'll start from the beginning. And I in Dalet on the base, there is a Gemara where the Gemara describes a person who schayv many chatos for having violated many malachas when he's manufacturing a basket. So Rashi has a comment on that Gemara that in manufacturing the basket is only a violation of Makava Patish, and there is no, he discusses Makava Patish, he says, and there is no Bona because Ein Binya Bekelim. The Tesis disagrees, and I am Dalet on the base of Maschel Chavito. How can you say Ein Binya Bekelim? What do you do with the Gemara Kuf base on the base? The Gemara said the Ferish, that there is Binya Bekelim, the discussion of Rav Shmuel. So the Pnei Yeshua reinterprets Rashi, that Rashi never meant it, and Tesis presents their opinion. The Tesis seems to assume Rashi did mean it. And they disagree with Rashi. So I saw the Hagos Maimini on the Rambam, Perik Yud, Ois Mem, quotes of Lezimimitz and the Sefer Yireim, who understands Rashi like Tosfos understood it, that Rashi really meant it, not like the Pnei Yeshua. And what does he do with this Gemara? So he says, Anachinami, that the Mandok, so the Rashban, this Daf on Kuv Beis and Beis, says that this is a Machlokes, and Rav holds that there is Binyan Bekelim, and Rashi Shita earlier on Daf Ayin Dalet is like Shmuel, it's not like Rav Shai. He patches it up. So I saw Rav Lezer Mimitz is quoted by the Hagos Maimini as saying that according to Rashi and Achenami, that's what it means in the Gemara. Rav Amar Mesatas Mishumai Mechai, what Moloch has he violated? Rav Amar Mishumbayna, so it won't be any Sadaraisa because they're Binyan Bekelim. And Shmuel says Mishumakabat Patrus, says then it will be Minatar. Ayat says Mishumai Mechai. It doesn't mean Chayb Chatas. It doesn't mean Chayb Nis. Taka, it won't be Chayb. He said, it means what Malacha has he violated. So if you say the Malacha that he violated is only Bona, so then if you go with Rashi, he says Anachanami, the maximum it could be is only the Rabbana. The question is, how can Rashi hold that Bona is only by Binyanim? So what does Rashi do with the Gemara that says that if a person is megabing, if you make cheese on Daf Tzadikim and Aleph, the Gemara says if you make cheese, so then the Gemara says there's a violation. Megabim Shemai Chayb, the Gemara says Mishum Bona, right in the middle of Tzadikim and Aleph. How can you say Mishum Bona? If according to Rashi, Binyan is only by building, so the Magid Mishnah has a comment on Perek Yud in Hilchas Shabbos. He says that on that Gemara there is a machlokes Reb Lezer, Reb Eliezer, and the Chachamim. And the Chachamim disagree. Reb Lezer says that there's if a woman braids a hair, there's a malacha bona. That's the Mishnah and Tzadik Dalet on Amid Beis. Godelos, Kochelos, Pokesos, Reb Lezer, Mechayv, and Chachamim, Moisim, Mishum Shvus. So the Gemara has a list of things, and the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, all of these are only midirabbanon. So there is a machlekes in Rishonim. What do you mean all of these are only midirabbanon? All of what are only midirabbanon? So the way we usually learn the godelis and kochelis and pokesis is only midirabbanon. But the megabin is menatara. The Rambam quotes megabin is chayiv chatas. It's a malach menatara. So the Magid Mishnah quotes other Rishonim and say no, that all of the above, all the six malachas that are listed in the Brayse, according to the Chachamim, are only mishum shvus. And achanami, megabin is not chayiv. So if one insists like Rashi, then bona is only if you make binyonim, and if you make kelim, even if you make a kli yesh me'ayin, you may b'chay mishum makabapatish, but you won't b'chay mishum bona. So one can insist over here also that this is only Rav Lezer's opinion. Rav Lezer holds that you have bona bayodim as well. He says that godelis is a malocha bona. That's the Mishnah that he says godelis is an issa deraisa. That's on Tzadik Dalet on the base, and the Gemara says on the top of Tzadikim and Aleph, what is the Issa Deraisa? So the Gemara says, Godelis Mishum Bone, and he quotes the Pasuk, Ve'ivan Hashem Elokim Es Hatzela. Rav Lezer holds that there's binyan ba'odim, Rav Lezer holds that there's binyan by making cheese, Rav Lezer holds against Rashi, that you can have binyan not by buildings. And Rashi says we pass in like the Chachamim that there's only dinyan by building, so all of this is only the Rabbanon. Dinyan by Odom and dinyan by cheese will only be the Rabbanon, won't be Anisa Derais. There is a Gemara that says that Hamafis Mursa on Shabbos is a Malacha Derisa. The Gemara says Chayv Chatos. On Kuv Zayinim and Aleph, the Gemara quotes the din. The Mishnah in 80 is Hamafis Mursa is Chayv Chatos. Rashi on that Gemara has two pshatim. So one pshati says that it's Bone, one pshati says that it's Makabat Patish. If you say that there's no dinyan outside of buildings, if you insist only binyan by buildings, and you have to say that it's makabat patish over here, that it's not bona. The other sheet that the Rashi has that it's binyan by Odom, and he quotes this pasuk Ve'ivan Hashem Elokim es Hatzelah. That's on the assumption that the machlekes of Lezer and the Chachamim is only a detailed machlekes. In principle, everybody agrees that you can have bona by Odom, based on the pasuk in Bereishis Ve'ivan Hashem Elokim es Hatzelah that is binyan by Odom. And the machlekes is only details, but a godelis constitutes a violation of binyan or not. But in principle, he can have binyan by yodim. So Shaila said, how does it join? But if Rashi holds that there's no binyan by kelim at all, so why should there be binyan by yodim? So some suggest that it's Rashi Nishitasai in Kiddushin and Dav Zayinam and Aleph Apshetel that there's a machlekes Rashi in Tesis whether all binyan yodim are hukshu l'karkoes. So Taisus, it's a little humorous, yeah. I thought there would be a little more laughter. So it's a little more funny than that, more humorous than that. So someone to say that it's Rashi Lishitosa, that Rashi says over there that all Bnei Adam, even Bnei Chorin, are Hukshu L'Karkos. And Taisus disagrees with Rashi that only Bnei Chorin, only Evet Kleini is Hukshu L'Karkos. Bnei Chorin are not Hukshu L'Karkos. So someone to say, Rashi really holds that there's no binyan, only binyan by karka, only binyan by buildings, by karka. But Bnei Adam, Hukshu L'Karkos, that's why there's Binyan. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that this is not correct. He has a Rashi in Ksuvis. The same Gemara about Mafis Murs appears in Ksuvis Davov on the day. So Rashi writes there in Ksuvis when he's commenting on it. Here Rashi writes the both possibilities, that the Mafis Murs Chayv either Mishum Bona or Mishum Misaken Mona. And there Rashi in Ksuvis writes that it's Chayv Mishum Bona. And he quotes the pasuk in Bereishis, Vayivad Hashem Elokim es Hatzelah, that's from Tzadikei. He says that pasuk teaches that there's binyan b'bavei chayim. He doesn't say there's binyan by Adam. So the whole Lishitasa falls apart. It's not that Rashi is Lishitasa. The Pashta says you can't, has nothing to do with karka versus metalfalim. It's not a lot of karka versus metalfalim that you should say that they know the Mahukshu L'Karkos. Allah, the Rashi also is only binyan by buildings. But it doesn't necessarily have to be karka. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, I think it's in Shin Yudalid, beginning of Shin Yudalid, the Ramah quotes a Taisvis from Erevin, where the Taisvis sounds like they're saying, you have a Gemara in Erevin. There is a Mishnah. There is a din if you make an Erevei Chatzeres, or if you make an Erevei Tchumen, so the food has to be Kayom during Bein Hashmashos, and you have to have access to the food during Bein Hashmashos. So the Mishnah has a Machloikis Hatanoim on Lamed Dalon on the base in Erevin. The son of the Migdal Ba'Ovad HaMavteach. The Chocham left his Erevei Tchumen, or the Erevei Chatzeres, doesn't make a difference. He left it in a piece of furniture, let's say a brake front or something like that, and it's locked, it has a lock on it, and he lost the key and he can't open it. So the Tanakhama says that it's a good Erev, and Rav Lezer disagrees, and the Mishnah and Erev and Lam Dalam Beis, he says the Erev is no good. So the Gemara is, how can the Tanakhama say that it's a good Erev if he doesn't have access to the food during Bein Hashmashos of Tchila Shabbos, so it should be no good? So the Gemara gives a whole discussion as to what the issue is involved over here, what the machlekes hatanoim is. So in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara bases a lot of the discussion on the assumption that the din is kol davar shehu mishum shvus lagazru ala bein hashmashos. That's a machlekes hatanoim there. Machlekes Rebbe in the Rabbanon, and we paskin lehokel that davar shehu mishum shvus lagazru ala bein hashmashos. That is mutav. So Taisus there asks Akasha, and Lamed Dalet, this is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Ramah quotes this from the Rishonim, and it's this Taisus. If Davish Shalom Mishum Shvus, like Gazwala Ben Ashmash, is that Ben Ashmash is of Chilo Shabbos, you're permitted to violate the Nisa the Rabbanon if it's B'makam Mitzvah, B'makam Tzorah Gadol, B'makam Hefsid Merubah. So if Rashi holds that there's no Binyan Ustira B'Kelim in Atayra, it's only with the Rabbanon, so what's the problem? So if he left the Ereve Trumin or the Ereve Chatzeris in a Migdol is a, it's not a building. It's not a building. It's a closet. It's a closet that's locked. So why, and he doesn't have the key. The Taisus says if he'll smash down the whole closet, if he'll break, let's say he'll take a hammer and he'll bang down the whole wooden closet. So the most he'll violate will be Nisa de Rabbanon, because Menatar ain't binyan estir b'kelim. So if he's only in violation of a Nisa de Rabbanon, so you're permitted to violate a de Rabbanon if there's a tzara gadol. And the Gemara considers this as who be a ruva b'makam echad. The Gemara says that's acceptable as long as the only thing he has to violate is a Nisa de Rabbanon in order to get to the food. So then Ben Ashmash says if it would be a shasat kak, one would be permitted to violate the Nisa de Rabbanon. So why is there a problem? So what's the whole machlekes all about? So Taisus proves from this that there must be that there's a case of stira. We're talking about breaking the kli. Must be that there's a case of stira by kelim. So Taisus lishitasim claims that the explanation is that there's binyan gomor. Taisus said in Shabbos on daf ayin dalet amud beis and Taisus on kuf beis amud beis. Taisus says all the gemaras indicate against Rashi shita that when do you say in binyan stira by kelim? If you have a kli shal prokin and you're screwing it together, you're taking it apart. A convertible sofa, something like that. But if you're making mamash a kli yesh meyayin, a binyan gomer, then everybody agrees that yesh binyan bekelim. And if you're smashing down the whole thing, everybody should agree that yesh stira bekelim. That's the pashtus and the taisus. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Bi'ur Agra that even though you follow taisus that yesh binyan bekelim if it's binyan gomer, but stira not. So taisus says befer is not so. Taisus against the Bi'ur Agra. Here, this taisus says it. Taisus brings this as one of the rise to their opinion that you see that there's. If you're going to smash down, you're going to take a hammer and smash down the whole wooden closet. That'll be stir gemur b'kelim. So that will be a real malacha gemur. So what's Rashi going to do with this whole discussion in the Gemara? Why did the Gemara raise a problem? Why did the Gemara have to work so hard figuring out why the Erev should be good? Of course, it's good. The maximum you're violating over here is only an issa de rabbanon. So Tosis comes up with the idea that even Rashi, who says that there's no binyan at all, b'kelim, if you make a kli yesh meyayin, even b'kelim gomer, and even stira gemuler, there's no stira b'kelim, that's only if it's small kli, a chair, a table, something, you bang nails together, you make a table or a chair, that's only the rabbanon. But if you make a big closet that's machzik mem saw, so that's considered a room. So it's not mechubel karka, it's still metalflame, but that's considered a room, and since it's a room, so that's called yesh binyan. There is binyan over there. Where does this idea come from? So this is a din in Hilchas Kabbalah Saptume. There is such a din in Mishnah's Kelim, that if a person has a kli shaleitz, if you have such a big closet that's not attached to the ground, but it's so gigantic, the volume that it contains is that it's machzik mem saw, so then Allah has said that it's not mekabel tumah because it's considered a room, it's not considered a kli. That's how apparently the Tosis over here is assuming. There is a Tosis in Shabbos earlier that Tosis disagreed. That's what Rashi holds. But Tosis disagrees. That's in Perik Kiro. On Mem Dalet Amud Beis, there's such a discussion between Rashi and Tosis. Dima Mascha Ve'ena Matzelas. So Tosis quotes a din. There is a halacha that pshute kleyets are not mekabel tumah. If you have a flat wooden board, even if it's miyuchet for some shtamshu, so the din is that it's not mekabel tumah. Or let's say you have a Dixie cup and you have the wooden spoon that you eat with and the whole wooden spoon is flat, that's a pshute kleyets, a kleyets that's flat, so the din is that it's not mekabel tumah. Minatora. Sometimes when they're abonim, they're mekabel tumah, but minatora it's not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, but what happens if you have a wooden board that's miyuchet li'yeshiva, that people sit on it? So since it's miyuchad liyeshiva, says mekabel tumas medris, so there is a gemara. Whatever is mekabel tumas medris is also mekabel tumas mago. Even if someone didn't sit on it, someone just an adam tami touched it, or a sheretz touched it, or it's oil amaze, so it can be mekabel tumas b'mago b'masa and so on. So Taisa's tainus against Rashi, once you have such a klal, that any kli that's mekabel tumas medris is automatically mekabel tumas magamas, even though it's missing some of the rules and regulations, it doesn't have a base kibul, it's a pshuti kli eitz. So how does Rashi interpret a Mishnah here? Here on Mem Dalet on the base in Shabbos, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Kalim that says that if the kli is machzik mem saw, if it's a wooden kli that's so big, the volume is so big inside that it contains mem saw, so the din is that it's not makabel tumah. So Rashi interprets over here that this is a wagon that people ride on. So Taisa Tain is if it's a wagon, then it's miyuchad lemedris. If it's miyuchad lemedris, it's makabel tumah's medris. So it's makabel tumah's medris, so then it should also be makabel tumah's maga, even if it has mem saw. Just like if you have pshutik leyetz, that's the rule. Whatever is makabel tumas medris is makabel tumas mago. That's Taisis kashi against Rashi. So in the Sefer Chedushi Haran, which is not by the Ran, there's a Sefer on Masech Shabbos, the Chedushim that were meyuches to the Ran. So in that Sefer, he quotes one of the Rishonim defends Rashi by explaining this point. They say that if you have, Rashi's opinion is that if you have a kli that's machzik mem saw, the halacha that says that it's not mekabel tumas mago is not an arbitrary halacha. Gzeiras hakosav that it's not metalton moli vereka. It's learned that from a pasuk. It's not stam gzeiras hakosav b'yalma b'litam, like the halacha of pshutik leyetz. If it's flat and it doesn't have a base kibul, it doesn't have an indentation, so it's gzeiras hakosav that it's not mekabel tuma. No, that gzeiras hakosav that can be overcome if the thing is miyuchad lemedris. Then it's mekabel tumas mago, even though it's a pshutik leyetz. But over here, if it's machzik mem saw, the halacha declares that it's considered a room. It's not considered a kli at all. So then it doesn't help for the fact that it's miyuchad lemedris. If the thing is a room, it's not a kli. It's paka the shem kli. So that's what the Rishonim say to defend Rashi. Taisus apparently does not hold from that distinction. Taisus here in Shabbos Mem Dal and Mem Beis seems to assume that even a kli amachzik mem saw is considered a kli. It's just that there is hakosav that it's not mekabel tumah. But this Taisus in Erevin and Lama Dalet Amid Beis seems to be going with this svar of Rashi from Mem Dalet Amid Beis. Seems to be going with that svar. That when does, they're explaining within Rashi, when does Rashi hold his position that there's no binyan b'kelim at all, and there's no stira b'kelim at all, even if it's binyan gomer, even if it's stira gemura. So they say that's only if it's a smaller size clay, but if it's a kli amachzik mem saw, that is considered a room, and even Rashi will agree. It's Rashi Rishitasa, as Rashi holds a mem dalet amid beis. According to Rashi, is considered a room, then there wouldn't be a violation of binyan. It's not that the vort is according to Rashi, there's only binyan bikarka as opposed to metalton. This thing is also metalton, but it's considered a room as opposed to a kli. There is a tesis earlier in Shabbos, in the first perek, where tesis also writes like the Rashi, not like their own opinion. There is a din that on Tezayin on the base, there's a Taisus Dibam Aschal Echad Kelim Gedolim. There is a Mishnah in Mikvois that's quoted there in the middle of the Daf on Tezayin on the base, that if you fill a mikvah with Maim Shuvim, so the mikvah will be pasul. So what size kli has to contain the water that it should be considered Maim Shuvim? So the Mishnah Mikvois says it doesn't make a difference. Echad kelim gedolim, echad kelim ketanim. It does make a difference whether the kelim are very big or the kelim are very small. The din is that it still becomes maim shuvim. So what's the meaning of that statement? It doesn't make a difference how big it is or how small it is. So Taisus says this is what it means to say. In the Mishnayis, and the Gemara never explains what it means. So Taisus gives it a pshat. Echad kelim gedolim, echad kelim ketanim. Sometimes you have a kli that's so gigantic that it's not mekabel tumah as a kli. Namely, if it's machzik mem saw, and echad kelim ketanim, sometimes the kli is so tiny, the base kibul is so small, it doesn't contain enough that it should be considered a kli, that it should have the chashivas, that it should be mekabel tumah. But nonetheless, it can hold a drop of water. So once it holds a drop of water, that drop of water is considered maim shuvim. So that's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They quote this Tosfos Lahalacha: echad kelim gedolim, ve'echad kelim ketanim. In order to be considered maim shuvim, the water does not have to be contained in a kli which is roi lekabel tumah. That says in the Mishnah, even kli avonim, kli adoma, kli glolim, which are not mekabel tumah because the material is such that it's not mekabel tumah, nonetheless it's considered maim shuvim. So the Mishnah states also Echad kelim gedolim, echad kelim ketanim. Not only if it's an issue of material, klei glolim, klei avanim, klei adom, is the wrong kind of material, it's not mekabel tume. Even if it's too big to be mekabel tume, it's machzik mem so. So l'chor it's not mekabel tume. So still, the halacha says that it's considered maim shum because it was contained in a kli. Is that takachu is contained in a kli? You say it was in a room. If the water was in a room, it doesn't become maim shum. It could well be that this thesis is with their own opinion, not like Rashi Shita. Maybe this thesis goes taka l'shitosam on mem dalet on the base. The thesis thinks that if you have a kli that's machzik mem so, it retains the shem kli. But the only thing is that it's not mekabel tumah. According to Rashi, maybe the din would not be so. According to the explanation given in Rashi, that a kli amachzik mem so is considered a room. So l'chori, if it's considered a room, and you apply it, and you hold that it's not only a din in Kabbalah's tumah, you apply it to Ilcha Shabbos, that you say that it'll be din yinistira the oraisa, if you make such a room, or you smash such a room, it won't be considered binyan bekelim. Rashi, the Taisa said in Erev and Daf Lamadala and Veiz, the Rashi will agree in such a case that yesh binyan bekelim, because it's not called the kli, it's called the room. But if it's called the room, it shouldn't make it into maim shuvah. The water was sitting in a room that doesn't become maim shuvah. But maybe it's Taisus Lishita Sam that they hold that that's just Exeris Akosuv, that a kli amachzik memso is not a kabel tumah, but it's not really that it's considered a room. And then the Kedem Ketanim they learn, even though it's so tiny that it doesn't have enough of a base kibble that it should hold a significant enough amount of water, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Nonetheless, it is a kli. Okay, the Kedem Ketanim that we all understand. The Kedem Gdolim, that's a Pesach Hiddush, what Taisus says. Even though it's machzik memso, they say that it still makes it into Maim Shulgam. There was another Gemara that the Taisus raised an issue on Mem Zayin on the base, the top line on Mem Zayin on the base. The Gemara talks about a person who has, let's say, a bed. The bed is falling apart and he bangs in a nail. So the Gemara says, if Toka, Chayav Chatos, if he screws the pieces in tightly, or if he puts in a nail to hold it together, he's chayv chatos. So Tosis thought the Pasha Pshat in Toka chayv chatos is that it's chayv mishum bona. So that's what led the Tosis to develop their opinion that binyan gomor bekelim you do have. Only if you have a klishol prokem and you screw it together, that's not binyan. But if you put in a nail, if you screw it tightly together, then it will be bona. So the Rishonim already said that according to Rashi, that Gemara is not problematic. Rashi will say in Toka chayv chatos, is a chim mishum makaba patish, it doesn't necessarily have to be mishum bona. This hoichocha that the Taisus had in Erev in Alamed Dalet on the days, that's quoted Lalocha, the Ramah quotes at the beginning of Shin Yud Dalet, that you see from the whole discussion in the Gemara, that there is a din of stira d'oraisa in a migdal, on a wooden closet. If so Taisus says, because it's big enough, Taisus l'shitasim say, because stira gmura there is bekelim, and they defend Rashi by saying, if it's machzik memso, then it's considered a room, it's no longer considered a kli. So this hoichocha of Taisus is a little problematic, because when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha that Kol davish shehu mishum shvus legozer olav bein hashmashes, this machlekes Rebbe Nachachomim, it says it's on lamen on the base, and erev in daf lamen on the base. So when that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, I think in Shin Mem base, they don't give you the tzion over here. There's a separate simon about that. So they quote there also another Taisus in Erevin, it's over here somewhere, Lamed Aleph or so, they quote another Taisus that it doesn't apply to every single Issa that's only Mishum Shavuos. Even though the statement of Rebbe is called Dovishu Mishum Shavuos, anything that's only the Rabbanon is like Gozuala Ben Ashmashis, it's not to be taken literally. And you have to distinguish, Taisus says, between more serious forms of Issum, the Rabbanon, and less serious forms. So Taisus gives an example of a person who's going to carry pachas midalat amas. He's going to carry 100 amas, but every 3 amas he's going to make a hanocha. He's going to make another hanocha. So Taisus proves from the Gemara, they have a raya where they prove from the Gemara that is not permissible bein hashmashes. Why? Because that's a gzeir derabbanon that's closer to a din deraisa. They divide all the yisurim derabbanon into two different levels. And he said the Rabbanan Chomer, and he said the Rabbanan Kal. So if it's very close to lead, if it can very easily lead to a violation of a Melacha Deraisa, then it's a more Chomer Dike Isa the Rabbanan, and that you're not Mata Ben Ashmashis. The only thing you're Mata Ben Ashmashis is the Gemara has a Carmelis, or Ein Olam Mimchubet to climb up on a tree, or things like that, the lesser category of Yisurim the Rabbanan. So one, and this is quoted Lalach in Shulchan Aruch. That Tesis is quoted Lalach. That's why there's even a question. The Shulchan Aruch writes in that simen that to do amira lenochri, let's say the woman forgot to bench lift before Shabbos and now it's Ben Ashmashi, so she's not allowed to bench lift. So the house is going to be dark. So they won't enjoy the Shabbos meal. So the Mechaber quotes in the name of the Ri, Bala Taisis, that amira lenochri is mutta during Ben Ashmashi because amira lenochri is only the Rabbanah. So many possibly question the correctness of that psak. The Mishkan Yankim and others are not so convinced that that's correct. Maybe Amir al-Nochri belongs to the more serious category of Yisurim the Rabbanan. And the Shulchan Aruch quoted this text, which is a proof from the Gemara that the only thing Yemata Ben Ashmashis are the Yisurim the Rabbanan Kalam, not the Yisurim the Rabbanan Chamur. So Bechari, once you say like that, so you can't necessarily prove anything from this whole Mishnah and Lama Dal and Lama Beis. In Erevim with the whole discussion, that the fellow left his Erevei Chatzeres or his Erevei Tchumen, whatever the case happens to be, he left his Erevei Tchumen in a closet, and the closet is locked, and the only way to get to the food is to break down the whole closet. So Tosis says, if it would only be an Issa de Rabbanon, a Binyan Estir became his only de Rabbanon, so it should be Het Gomer during Bein Ashmashis, and whatever is Muta Bein Ashmashis doesn't pose a problem. Then it's considered Huvei Ruva B'Makam Echad. So Bechari, one can say simply, even if one should assume, like Rashi, that the worst it is an Issa de Rabbanon, you can say it's an Issa de Rabbanon Chomer. Once you're saying you're dividing all of the Yisurim de Rabbanon into two categories, so maybe Binyan Estir Bekelim, Binyan Gomer Estir Gmur Bekelim, what Tosfos holds is a Melacha Deraisa, Rashi holds that it's de Rabbanon, but it's a de Rabbanon Chomer. Once you say it's a de Rabbanon Chomer, so then there's no head to do it Bein Hashmashes. So you need necessarily have to push it into the category of a Deraisa to explain why it's also Bein Hashmashes. You just have to push it a little bit into the category of an Issa de Rabbanon Chomer. So they didn't have to come to this whole Chiddush to say that if it's a Kli Amachzik Memsor, that then it's considered Binyan Gomer, then it's considered a room. Anyway, but that's what the Rama quoted from this Tesis, that the Rishonim quoted this Tesis. There is a Mishnah in the end of Beitzah where the Gemara, when the Mishnah says that one is Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisris on Yontif or on Shabbos is in violation of an Issa de Rabbanon. And the Gemara in the first parak in Beitzah, on Daf Tesim and Aleph, had a Havamina to think that this Issa of Afrashas, Trumas, and Maisris should only apply in Eretz Yisrael where there's an Issa Tevel. So when you're Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisris, you're Mamish, Mesak, and Mona. But in Chutz Loretz, where the din is that Trumas Chutz Loretz, Echa V'Helach V'Acha Kach Mafrish, you're permitted to eat. And then there's no Issa Tevel now. I can eat as much as I want, as long as I leave over enough later, so that after I finish eating, I'll be Mafrish Chala, I'll be Mafrish Trumas and Maisis. So then the Gemara had one opinion that said that in such a case, there's no violation, there's no prohibition of Afrashas Trumas and Maisis. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's not so. That in addition to that aspect, in addition to the Yisra of Misak and Mana that's involved in Afrashas, Trumas, and Maisris, there's another Yisra, there's somehow another prohibition involved. And the Rambam explains what the additional prohibition is. But I'll call upon him, you see from the beginning of the Sugya, that this prohibition of Afrashas, Trumas, and Maisris on Afrashas Chala, on Tevel, even on Tevel, that's Tevel Goma Deraisa, the Mishnah says that it's only an Issa deRabbanan, it's not an Issa deRaisa. So why shouldn't that constitute a Melacha Gemura deRaisa? If someone is, why isn't it Misakin Mona Min HaTorah? So I think the Rishonim have two Mahalchim over here. There's a major Machlokes. Some Rishonim say that in order to be a violation of Misakin Mona, it has to be a Kli. Or even if it doesn't have to be a Kli, let's say Makab HaPatish, Rashi describes on the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, he describes Makab HaPatish, the person, or Rashi describes it over here, the person is breaking away the stone from the mountainside. So he's beginning to make a Kli. So even if you're done, Makab HaPatish doesn't necessarily have to be Dafke Kli, but there's no Makab HaPatish be Ochlin. That's what one group of Rishonim say, that Makab HaPatish deraisa doesn't exist by Ochlin, and that's why the whole prohibition of Makab HaPatish by Trumas and Maisis and by Chala, by Tevel, could only be the Rabbanon. Other Rishonim and Achronim disagree, and they hold that it's not necessarily correct. You can have Makaba Patash by Yochlim, also Minat Torah. There is a Gemara in the Ayins, where the Gemara says that that Klisheni Einam Avashel, unless it's Kul Yisur Ispiner, Adag Maliat, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, if it's the Dvarim Shekalim his Vashel, then there is Bishal Afilu B'Klisheni. So we usually assume that the Pshat is that it's an Isra Bishal. And others say that it's not an Isra Bishal, it's not really an Isra Bishal, it's rather, the Lashon HaMishnah was, HaDechas HaZui Gmar Malachtoi. Some posts can take that literally, HaDechas HaZui Gmar Malachtoi means that it's an Isra Makaba Patish, that you have Makaba Patish by Yochlin. There are other cases they have also where they assume that there is an Isra Makaba Patish by Yochlin on the level of their Isra. So what do you do with this Mishnah that says that there's no makaba patish deraisa by afroshes trumas and maizen? So they give a different shot than the Mishnah. They assume that in order to be in violation of makaba patish and misakan mana, it has to be that there's a tikkun in mitzias. If the tikkun that you accomplish is only a halachic tikkun, if you'd ask a guy, what did I accomplish anything? You say, no, you just took some of the stuff and you moved it over there and you mumbled some words. What did you accomplish? There was more food. The guy takes out trumas and maizen. So you ask your goy, did I accomplish anything great? He says, no, you took away half of my meal. Originally there was a whole plate full of food, now you took away half of the vegetables and half of the challah and half of the spaghetti. What did you do? He didn't do a tikkun, he doesn't understand. So others hold that this is not a makaba patish deraisa. In order to violate makaba patish deraisa, there has to be a tikkun mana mitzias. It's not enough if it's a tikkun mana al pi alocha. That's a big machlokes, tesis. Another Rishonim in Maseches Yuman, Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, is a gigantic Tosfos that goes from Lamed Aleph and Beis to Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. Now Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, they discuss quite a few important topics, all in Hilchas Shabbos, all aspects of Malachas Shabbos. So one of the less significant aspects that they discuss is the Mishnah in Sukkot that says that if one has a Pasul HaHadas, because you have anav of merubim me'alav, you have more berries growing on the hadas branch than you have leaves, so that constitutes a malacha, makaba patish, if you pull off the berries and you make a kosher. Mishnah says if you pull off the berries and make a kosher. So the Mishnah says it's forbidden to do that on Shabbos and Yonta because of Mesak and Mona. So Tosfos just writes in passing, a davar pasha, that maximum that can be is an isa malacha derabbanan. It's not a makaba patish deraisa. And they seem to assume why is because it's only a tikkun and halacha. It's not considered in mitzias. He didn't really accomplish any tikkun. And Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Gemara there, Negilian Ashas and Daf Lamed Hey Manalah quotes that the Mordechai quotes some Rishonim who disagree with Tosfos. They hold the Feirish that case of memayit ain memati in the yontif, that if the fellow is memayit, he rips off some of the berries so that now you have more leaves than you had berries. That would constitute a makaba patish deraisa. That if you misakin mana, even though it's in common sense terms, it's not an accomplishment. It's only an accomplishment of the halacha. That too would be considered a tikkun mana. So luchara, these are the two different shitas how to read this mishnah. And the end of beitza that if a person is mafresh shumas v'maisvis, even when he's misakin mana mamish and eretz yisovah, there's an isa tevel, and the hafrosh enables him to eat the food. The maximum you have is a Mesakan Mana Derabbanan. What's the reason why? So half of the Rishonim seem to say because it's not a Tikkun Mana in Halacha. In Mitzias, it's only a Tikkun Mana in Halacha. And others say no, because it's Eichlem. There's no Tikkun Mana B'Yochlem. Tikkun Mana has to have something to do with the Mana, with the Kli. The Minchas Chinuch quotes from the Mogen Avos on Masechus Shabbos, on the Malachas. So Mordechai Banet has a sefer with chidushim, so he comments on the Gemara later on Daf Kuvav and Aleph. So the Gemara has a lashon right before the Mishnah. The Gemara talks about misakin mana. So the Gemara says when you do a bris milah on Shabbos, that constitutes a malacha, some kind of a malacha deraisa or another, because the halacha only permits you to do a bris milah on Shabbos if it's a milah bismana. Milah Shalab Bismana is not Becha Shabbos. You see clearly that there is some Malacha involved, and it's only Mutar on the circumstance. As to the Avada, not a Safek, whenever it's a baby's born, Bein Hashmashah, so it's not Becha Shabbos, and so on. So you see that there is some kind of a Malacha deraisa involved in performing a Bris Milah on Shabbos. So the question is, what is the Malacha? Which Malacha are you in violation of? So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. So one of the so Rav Mordechai Banet suggests in his sefer the way he read the Gemara, Mali l'sakin milo, Mali l'sakin kli. He understood that that's a violation of m'sakin mana, that you have m'sakin mana by Adam. That was the one pshat that Rashi said. Rashi gave the two pshatim. Where was that? On Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph, by the Mafis Mursa B'Shabbos. The one pshat in Rashi was that it was bona. The other pshat was that it was m'sakin mana. So the bona, that was the questionable pshat. And we assume, oh, the m'sakin mana, that's the easy pshat. M'sakin mana is not so glat either. It's also questionable. It could be that m'sakin mana.
As such, and then we'll move to the, what we call the subdivision of the Maran Makom is called Shviras Chavis, which is a very important sugya, very critical, complex sugya about opening cans and all kinds of things of this nature, which also relate to Makom HaPatish. It's not separate and distinct, but we wanted to divide it as a separate category, as a separate sugya, Daf Kuf Mem Vav, which we'll only relate to briefly today. Okay, once again, we have this Gevaldige Sefer, the Binyan Shabbos, who goes through very fundamentally the rules of Makom HaPatish as he sees them. Since he wrote the book, he makes the rules. I haven't seen another Sefer to go through it as thoroughly, and therefore the rules which he makes we're going to accept, unless we have a particular reason to disagree. We spoke about Tikkun Kli as being one of the four subdivisions of Makom HaPatish. So in the Sefer Binyan Shabbos, he says, what if you have a Tikkun Kli which is done very easily without any tircha? He says, you know, what do we say? We said once before, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So there's a corollary. If it fixes so easily, it ain't broke. If it requires a major activity to fix it, then we view it as having been broken before. But if you can just do it so easily and fix it so easily, it means you're not really fixing something which is broken. Never what's broken, it's not called fixing. It gives a few examples. One is Avkuf Mem. Negev Chodosh in a Chavis on Shabbos, it's Kuf Mevav towards the bottom. But Shavin Shenokvin Negev Yoshan. If you have an old hole, you can just push right through it. It's a difference. Says the Binyan Shabbos, because that's easy. The hole is there already. You stuffed it up, you push it in. That's not considered enough of a problem to then turn around and say that the reopening it should be considered makke b'patnish. Or, for example, adaf mem chesem and alf, which we saw already a few times. Ekev Chodosh in a Chavis on Shabbos, it's Kufim Vav towards the bottom. But Shavin Shenokvin Nekev Yoshan. If you have an old hole, you can just push right through it. It's a difference. Says the Binyan Shabbos, because that's easy. The hole is there already. You stuffed it up, you push it in. That's not considered enough of a problem to then turn around and say that the reopening it should be considered makir b'patish. Or, for example, adaf mem chesem al, which we saw already a few times. This is about the putting the stuffing into the pillow on Shabbos, adaf mem ches, which is a possible violation of makir b'patish. That's when the Gemara makes a distinction between ha b'chadati ha b'atiki. So he says the reason is, he suggests the Binyan Shabbos, Chari is a whole enterprise. You're starting from scratch, a whole new system. You're making a pillow out of nothing that was never existed before. That's called Makar B'Patish. But it already existed. It was there. It fell out. You put it back in again. That's no big deal. And if you look here in the bottom Tosis, we were here again before, bottom Tosis, Ho B'Chari Ho B'Atiki, Omer Reed Him Notku Nitku Chute Asarbo. Im Anekev Rachav V'Yochol Achnisa B'Lo Torach Shari Keva Datiki. What does that mean? Something slips out, you want to put it back in again. Since it's Rachav, what is Rachav? It's a wide hole. It's a wide hole. It's easy to put something through a wide hole. A very narrow hole, then so you have to sit there and figure out how to get it through. It's a very wide hole. So again, as he puts it, but no Torah, and it's very easy. That's no problem. And this is quoted halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Osai. Let's take a look in Simon Shin Yud Zayin. That was our opening simon, for those who remember, first day. Shin Yud Zayin, Siv Beis. Nishmatu lo ritsuos mino v'sando. Okay? It's permissible to put it back. Ramah v'davka sheyuchal lahachziro below Torah. Here we go. Below Torah. So you have to have that precondition. Below Torah is no problem. Then it says, avlam tzorach Torah lezeh also the chashin and shema yikshar. Wait, what's shema yikshar? No. Shema Yikshor is if it's Rachav, if it's wide, then the only problem is Shema Yikshor. But if it's not wide, if it's very narrow, as we see here in the Tosfos itself, if it's very narrow, then there's an independent Isser of Makar B'Patish. There are two Isserim that we're discussing here in Shin Yud Zayin Siv Beis. One is this Gzeira of Chashin and Shema Yikshor, but aside from that Gzeira of Shema Yikshor, is also the issue of Makar B'Patish. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura Sifkat M'Chof. It says, below Torah, the Haimashan Nekev, Rachav. It's wide. Uva Mokam Shanekev Tsar, if it's a narrow hole. I feel Uva Mokam Shain Regina Likshar Osir, the Tsarach Torah. Then it's already considered a Matakin Mana. So you see that the difficulty involved is a criterion in determining whether something is makar b'patish or not. Or, another example, Simon Shin Ches, we were here again before, Mishnah Brura, Sivkotten, Ayin Beis. Here, if you remember, the Ramah said, Gam osu lahachas haregel l'sham mishum binyin. You put a leg of some which fell off a bench. Right? But if it is rafui, and it's derech, we had it before, derech rafui, it's mutar lachnisa b'rifyon. So the question becomes, all right, it's not bona, it's not tokat, it's not mehudok. What about makar b'patish? So forget bona. I mean, makar b'patish. The answer is, it's a breeze. It just goes right in, it's very easy. And therefore we consider her to be permissible from the perspective of Makar B'Patish. So therefore, to give examples, see, Baruch Hashem, we have these a few examples on the wall. I see four right now. Big black hats. I'm trying to see, my eyes aren't that good. I think all those black hats that you see on the walls, everyone should have them near him. That's why they're four. So they have a... there's a pinch. Is that the right word to use? A pinch in the top of the hat. You know, the hat goes like this. And towards the front, that's the style. It's pinched in on either side. No, that's Emes. Can you see those who are sitting closer? True? So he says, what happens if the pinch got knocked out of shape on Shabbos? Can you put it back? Was that makah b'patish? He says, it's mutter. It's mutter. Why? Nothing. It came out, you give it bang, it's in. Wow. A chiddush. Then, I'll tell you a story. This will wake everybody up. It's a story, so wake everyone, because it started with me falling asleep. Many years ago, I'm trying to think how many, I would say, I think it's, I don't know, over 10 years ago, I'm quite sure. It was Rosh Hashanah night. Rosh Hashanah night, I'm sitting over my svarim. And you know, Rosh Hashanah, it's a tough night. You know, it's up slichas every morning. That very morning is slichas, the harvest, the earliest slichas, you know. And you know, what can I tell you? It wouldn't be the first time you ever, you know, your head just sort of, that's no problem. It's my simple call, yo. But what was different that night was I gave such a bang with my head, or I don't know, just something, my glasses fell off and the lens popped out. This is Rosh Hashanah morning. The lens popped out. All I had to my name at that time were this set of glasses and those rec specs that I still own over here. Now, I knew the Rabbona Shalom wouldn't mind if I were wearing rec specs. When I davened for the Yomut, I thought, now I'll put my talus way over my head and no one will see me. You're not supposed to speak. It's not going to go. But I held, how can you put it back? I thought it was certainly awesome. So I figured, I'll get up early in the morning. Then we're going to find the goy. There's a firehouse. Four houses off from the shul. I'll go to the firehouse. I'll certainly find the goy. And I hope they're supposed to be awake all the time. The fireman, I mean, you know. Yeah, so we daven pretty early Rosh Hashanah, 7 something, so I get up around 7, before that, I figured I'll get there before I meet anybody, put on my rec specs, carry my glasses with the lens in my pocket, and I'm going to the firehouse. So I walk out of my door, and someone says, good yonder. So remember who it was, a father and his daughter were walking to shul 20 minutes before shul started, and he looked at me like I'm out of space. The kids, I go to the firehouse, I start banging on the door of the firehouse. Finally, this groggy eyed guy goes up. Got to make sure they're a Jewish fireman, too, you understand? Oh, yeah, I grew up in the East Bronx, and I know about the Rosh Hashanah, and I used to put the lights on and off. Oh, here's my guy. So I said, yeah, I have this problem with my glasses. He takes, okay, takes the lens. You know, these plastic lenses, and you know, and he puts it in. Gewaldic. Obviously, there was something wrong. Then I remember I couldn't get into the place because there's a big garage door, like, you know, and you had to walk into a small door, and you had to go step above it. I still remember this is not to be believed. I said, thank you very much. I go climb over that little door, and I trip. Boom! Out goes the lens again, a second time. Help! He puts it in. Somehow it lasted until after Rosh Hashanah, and then, anyway, guess what? In the Binyan Shabbat, it says I could have done it myself. No problem. You give it a little push, it goes in, and no problem. Now, I'm not convinced that pushing the lens of the glass is as easy as fixing the black hat. But, that's what it says. So, since we're following his rules, I guess the whole story is, I mean, it's an important story, but maybe I could have done it myself. Perhaps. Here's another example. There are belts that have a leather piece and a metal piece. I mean, almost all belts have a leather and a metal piece. So the way my belt goes, the old-fashioned belts, the two are connected like this. You know, it's sewn on. Sewn on. You can't pull one off from the other. Forget about it. But kind of the new kinds now that it's sort of clipped on. Somebody said to me last week, it's reversible. No, you can make it black, you can make it blue, and no, not because of Shabbos, because of the keys. No, just stop. Stop, go your belts, Biden Sims. And then they, Mangus helps us out a lot. And we went to MTA after Makar Sato. So, I have such a belt. Oh, sheevish. Bought in Sims? You have it? Oh, here's another one. Good. Oh, right here. So it comes right out. You give it a little push here. It comes out. So, okay. So he says that that's not supposed to come out. I guess the reason it's this way is in case you want to replace the leather, you don't have to spend more money on the metal. Is that the reason for it? Unless it's reversible. It doesn't look reversible to me. Oh, whatever, they make it short, that's why you cut it. Whatever the reason, it's not supposed to come out. What if it came out on Shabbos? Says the Vinyan Shabbos, no problem putting it back. It's a snap. Boop, snap, it's back together again. That's a third example. Okay. Again, it seems to me that's easier to put back together than the lens of my glasses. And the fourth and final example he gives, who has a watch which has my watch. How's the watch held together? I think it's better if you have one of those leather, you know, the leather bands on a watch. It'll be easier. So leather band on a watch. This little, how's it held together? This little spring. You give it a little. What if it comes out on Shabbos? He says it's mutter to put it back. It's a snap. It's very easy. No problem. I would have problems doing that. But apparently he says it's not enough of a problem to be a problem in halacha. Those are the four examples he gives of this klal. All right. Next klal. Klal number two for today. What if the kli itself is all right, but something an external factor comes and makes it difficult or impossible to use? He says it's not considered to be makulko. Only an intrinsic problem. Not something which is external. What's his raya? That's the Gemara I asked you to see. Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Take a look. Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Starts actually in Amud Aleph. The motto about Asuve Yanuka. Let's read the sugya. It's a few lines. Asuve Yanuka, Rashi explains. Lahachlik seder evarav should know that evarav is parkin v'tzorach liyashvan. But the machlok was aser amuter. So Rav Nachman who says us, how do I know? Ein osin apiktoizin b'shabbos. Rashi lahaki shosem mashkim u'mekim v'lol refuah l'horek esmeyav shiuchal lecho v'lishtos hayom harve. What a shugana. He loves to eat. So he eats, throws up, and eats, throws up. It's not an eating disorder of America. The other way around. Other kind of a disorder. All right. I guess imagine that might apply even today to some of these people have the 21st century disorder. They want to throw up, but whatever. So you can't do it. You can't take some medicine or whatever it is or some other trick to do it on Shabbos. Brav Sheshes. Awesome. Lav urche. Hocha urche. What does that mean? Hocha urche. Varehu kemisha machilo mashkeu. You're allowed to feed the baby. Baby's born with the limbs are a little bit askew. You're allowed to feed the baby, give the baby to drink? Yeah. So you can put the straighten the limbs as well. What does that mean? So we'll see soon. Vaita. How do I know it's in fact mutter? It's not. Machat shel yad little boas hakotz. You're allowed to remove a splinter on Shabbos. No? If you let a split, move a splinter on Shabbos, so then you can straighten out the baby. Rav Nachman, Hossam Pokid, Pochalo Pokid. Rashi, Pokid? Hakol Tazeh, Eina Mechulebo, Ela Mufkud Venosin Shom, Voltsazu Eino Tikun. This is the yesod he's trying to bring out. That you have a splinter, the splinter is not a chesaron in the person. It's an extra piece of wood that got stuck in. So removing that piece of wood is less of a problem than straightening out the limbs. Who are the nami with respect to makom v'patish? Removing something extra which got somehow adhered to the item is less of a problem than fixing something, straightening something, which it became crooked and within the thing itself. That's his yisod. And we had the Rambam of yesterday from the Yerushalmi, quoted Mishnah Berurah, that if you have a garment and thorns became adhered to it, you can remove the thorns. Why is the Makom HaPadish? Is it something which is external? The Taz passes in Uchus Yontif. If you have a candle and there's a piece of charcoal on top of the candle, which often prevents the candle from reaching its full glow. Yeah, dims it. You can remove that piece of char. It's not considered to be makom v'patish. It's removing something which you really don't want. And there's a Tosfos in Beit Chof Ches that if you have some of the extra junk fell into a tanner, you can tanner yoshin. You can remove it on yontif. Again, it's something external which just sort of fell in there. It's not considered to be make bipatish. Rashi considers it, yes, make bipatish, and Beit Olam and Beis. So he explains that according to Rashi, once something falls into the tanner, it sort of becomes integrated within the tanner. It's part of the tanner, and now it's a tanner makulkul as opposed to a tanner matukul with something on top. That's how he understands Shitas Rashi. Oh, for the same reason, if you have like they have downstairs, all those beautiful benches that we have. This year there's so many benches, Baruch Hashem, courtesy of the good rabbi. There's so many benches from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And many of the pages are stuck together. I imagine over the years, you know, someone had a little bit of a chicken and put it in the bench with this little grease on the chicken and they put the fingers in. You have to be more with a mayamach right in Rabbi sign. Even though it's a makel, but if your hands are greasy, the choladeis in my machrodim. Well, maybe the zmiris got stuck together before you got to the benching of my machrodim. You have to check the bench, see if where it gets stuck together. The benching pages is bad, or then the yom zemachubur or something like that. Then it's all right. Okay, so it gets stuck together. So you let it pull them apart. I wise and makel patish. The answer is again, there's nothing wrong with the bencher. The page got stuck together. There's some external piece of some grease. Again. That's a Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Mem Sif Katan Mem Hey, and the Shemir Shabbos passage is a Dover Tzedodi, and there's no Makom HaPadish. That is Perek Chof Ches or a Dalet. And therefore, he quotes another example in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. If the shofar is not working so well, so you can pour something through it to clean it out. Why is the Makom HaPadish? Until now, the shofar wasn't blowing well. Now it blows well. You're just getting rid of the junk. Just cleaning it out. That's not considered to be makom v'patish. What about rust? Take a look on the rach. Anaf kuf mem tes omer aleph. Aren't we in the rust belt now? What do you call the northeast? The rust belt? Is that, am I correct? Is that what it's called? Am I wrong? Who knows American civic? Yeah, right. What they call it? No? That's even Pennsylvania. Well, that's who they were, because, you know, we're not to Evans. Forget about it. I was trying to make it current. I see how current I am. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, there's a whole sugi here about looking in the mirror on Shabbos. It's Yala Chaluda. So the Rach says it's three lines at the bottom. So the Yitzach Tzachenu b'Shabbos, you're going to remove the rust from this mirror. V'nim Tzimatake in Mona. Wait a minute. Does this go against the rules? The rust is something which just somehow comes and it's on the outside. Well, who's the scientist here? Where does rust come from? Is rust something which comes, I threw some rust on it? You know, I throw chicken fat on my bencher, or I throw thorns on my pants. Who throws the rust on the mirror? Who's the scientist here? Teresa comes from the metal itself. That's why it's back of the palace to remove it. It's considered something which is internal. For this reason, he has a very, I guess, somewhat embarrassing example, but all right. He says, what happened? You have a zipper. He doesn't say where the zipper is, but we can still imagine it, a zipper. And some thread gets in the middle of the zipper. It's a gate leash. Gatenisht, Shabbos, Gewalt, Gatenisht. He says it's mutter to remove the thread from the zipper, because the thread is external, and therefore it's not considered makabe patish to remove the thread from the zipper. All right. Good. Now, since you mentioned before the word watch, let's all open up the Mishnah Berurah and talk about a watch. Can you wind the watch on Shabbos? A very serious question. In today's world, let me ask, is there anybody in this room who ever winds a watch? I guess not so serious as I thought. Do you remember ever winding a watch? I mean, your youth, used to be, oh, our counselor, the counselor. So the Aver Yarden, the czar of Aver Yarden, remembers that he used to, in his youth, wind watches. So can you wind a watch on Shabbos or not? So that's discussion in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Lamed Ches of Katan Tezvav. Let's take a look. Shin Lamed Ches of Katan Tezvav. Here we go. The Mechaber talks about a watch. Zuga Mekashkesh Lashos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Al b'Shabbes lo mi boy dim omad de osa lachino sheyelech." By filling back with the nuachut abarzel shemisna anea, the yeshu is a Easter Torah lekam a poskim. Now they call tikkun nana. And I feel the ba'odo holech osa gamkin limshocha mishkolos. O betashin ur shon kiss pocket watch. Chut a moshecha galgalim. Shelo yifso kilucho. The Yehudi, you can make it for a chol even if it's nifsak ilucho. That's what he says. And therefore, you should know those tashinurs, those pocket watches, shirogal lefamim sha'omed, benifsak me ilucho, menan o bemiktas. You don't have to say it, wind it. Just shake it a little bit. Because of the ilucho, historically, Zohar Shalola Nano B'Shabbos came and Moshe is shaken. Makeh B'Patish. We already mentioned this earlier. Reb Shlomo Zalman understood that a watch that stops is broken, as opposed to hey, all the fans are off today. Mama, the last 3 days we were boiling hot. The air conditioner wasn't working well, and I said, but today, thank God the air conditioner is working again. It's not so hot outside. Cold! The fans are off! We have 9 broken fans here. 9 broken fans. Has to show them! They're not broken, they're just off because we don't need them. But a watch, if it would stop, would be considered broken. That's the Mahalach of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman in explaining this idea of the watch being a makeh b'patish. So what will happen if you have a similar idea? Many watches, I don't know how they work today. Mine says quartz on it, but I think the old watch used to work on springs. No? Anyone have a spring? Anyone have one of those watches still? They're all super new digital. I don't know what they're working on, batteries or whatever else, computers. Well, when I grew up, there used to be all winding watches. Some were automatic winding, but some were plain winding, and they would work with a spring system. You still see them in the museum. You know, you'll see those big clocks. Yeah, the grandfather clocks. They're still working on springs, yeah? So he says, it's only reason why it's a problem because it's broken. What about, he asked Shlomo Zalman, what about toys, babies have toys that work with these kinds of springs. You wind it up. I don't know what's the most popular one today. It goes, just walking around there. What's the most popular? No, you should answer this question. You don't know? I'm surprised you don't answer this question. This is important. The Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says it's mutter. Or cars. You go, that was very popular in my kids. It's also kind of some kind of a spring system. You take the wheels, go, and then it goes until it stops a few seconds later. So when it stops, it's broken. We want the thing to go a hold. Maybe the kids want to go around forever, but certainly the parents don't want to go around forever. So we consider that to be not broken when the car's not moving. But presumably, mutter, Shlomo Zalman said so, in Shmir Shabbos Perek Tazayin Har Olamites. And the same thing applies. This I remember distinctly. We had, when all my children were zoicha to have this, and we would matter based on Shlomo Zalman. And I saw that some people don't agree with the hefner, but all right. A baby swing. It's, you know, they still have these things. They got to come to, wind it up and go, they're all electronic now. I wonder what it is. They still have the old ones. Maybe we have someone locked, some of the claws will lend you if you need one. But that's presumably mutter. What about an alarm clock? What about an alarm clock, Rabosai? The old style alarm. I have one now, believe it or not. The old style. No electricity, no computer, no nothing. It works. I take that back. No, it's not as old style as it used to be. Used to be, I'm telling you, it was. The old alarm clock had two. Rabbi, remember those? Had two things you had to wind. One was for the clock itself, which, you know, to keep it like winding a watch. And one was to wind for the bell of the alarm. If you wound it all the way, and then when it was going for a long time to make sure it wakes you up. And if you didn't wind it so long, it would only go half the time. So Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that winding the alarm part is not makom patish. Because, you know, if you don't want it to go off, let's say that the 12-hour, you know, all clocks are all 12-hour clocks, and you want to be woken up in the morning for davening. Let's say, so it's 7:30 in the morning, or 7 to 7:15, you want to be woken up for davening. Okay, but it's in the winter time. So 7:15 at night, you may not be asleep then, but you don't want it to make noise at 7:15 at night. See, what do? You have to wind it after 7:15 p.m., so it should wake you at 7:15 a.m. So Shlomo Zalman gets mutter. Because again, it's not broken when it's not wound. It's you don't want to wake up. That's an interesting suggestion. It's in Mincha Shlomo. Page Tariches. And this basis, he says in Shmir Shabbos Perek Chav Ches Sif Chav Tes, it's mutter to pull up that little what word should we use? Pole or peg? Button? You have an alarm clock. I mean, this I have. I mean, even today I have that. I have an alarm clock, which, you know, I go to sleep before I go to bed, I press it. So it's now waking me up tomorrow, 7:15 a.m. And then, when I usually wake up before the alarm, so I turn it off, so it doesn't make noise. So he says, okay, so I had set for a certain time, I don't want to make noise at night, because I was at 7:15 at night, I'm awake, so I can have it all set, and then when I go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night, I can press a little button, release the push up or down the side, whatever it may be, so that it should activate it to go on at 7:15 in the morning, and that's not a violation of Makom HaPatish. So that's it. Oh, Mashmiya Kol is a problem. It is a problem, Rabosa. It really is a problem. It is a problem. Mashmiya Kol. I don't know if I have a chance to learn that this summer. I don't know. We have to figure out. We have an opportunity to learn all the other gzeiros, other things we are not in the actual malachas proper. Mashmiya Kol is a gzeiros chazal. So, all right, maybe it's only a grama, he says. Grama, we will have to learn about it a little bit, because that relates to doraisis and the sugya of Maver and Mechaber, which is coming right after Binyan. That's the next sugya. The Grama on Exeret Rabban of Mashmiya Kol, he thinks it's Mutta B'mok, at least B'mok a mitzvah. B'mok a mitzvah. But Metaka Mona, it's not. It's not Metaka and Mona. Therefore, it may come out that if you have an alarm clock, and let's say I want the alarm clock to wake me up, but not everyone else in the family, so come 7:50 in the morning, Shabbos morning, I didn't wake up before the alarm. It's like, had I woken up before the alarm, like, what could I have done? I could push it closed. And if it starts going on, I can still push it closed. Why? Because it's not electric, purely mechanical. There's nothing wrong with being unmashmiya kol. That's not a violation. But Keret, by turning it off now, you're limiting what any potential issur mashmiya kol you had. So I tell people about this. The alarm clock, if you need it, is a shas hadchak. So what's a shas hadchak if you're not going to wake up? So the best thing to do is to wake up before the alarm. To have the alarm and then turn it off before it even goes. I'm talking not about electric. I'm talking about the old-fashioned, purely mechanical devices. But the best thing is to turn it off before. So then even if gram mashmiya kol is usur, but if you woke up in time, so never was a kol. If you didn't wake up in time, well, then it was a shas hadchak. It's the Tzigloi Muslim Afreya. Then you would have missed davening if not for the alarm clock. Okay. And therefore, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said that if it's an electrical device, since we are afraid to start up with the Chazon Ish, then you can't turn it off. And if you look in the Chelek Gimel of Shlomo Zalman and Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, according to Shlomo Zalman himself, perhaps it would be Mutam Iker Adin, even in the case of these, you know, the battery watches. You have these watches. Beep, beep, beep. You know, it goes making noise and wakes somebody up. Iker Adin, it'd be Mutam, just close it. That's what would emerge. It's even written in the back of the Shmir Shabbos. The fear of Shlomo Zalman. Oh. Now. Yeah. But there was a watch that, there are these alarm watches. But the alarm watches today, I don't think they're going purely on springs. That they're going with some kind of a circuitry, I believe. Am I right? There's some kind of something going on inside there. It's not just a, I think I'm right, I'm not sure. I don't know if they, call those again? I can't remember the name of it. You know, these watch crazes come and go. So, 20... way before that. My memory is just going on me. There's a certain kind of watch that's popular 25 years ago. And it had an alarm in it. That's when they first started the alarm watches then. Not the name of it, but I think there was some kind of circuitry going on. It wasn't just way before the modern stuff. It wasn't just purely a wind-up watch or even an automatic. This is my style, an automatic wind watch. It was something a little bit more than that. So that's why perhaps going to Chazon Ish would be a problem turning it off, perhaps. But according to Shlomo Zalman, that's what I had in mind. Now, here's a question. And it's Binyan Shabbos is bothered by this question. He just said he sold number one of today, which was whatever is easily remedied, there's no problem makav a patch. Correct there, this is pretty easily remedied. You take your thumb and your forefinger and you wind it. That's no big deal. Anybody can do that. Not a big tircha. So why then is a stopwatch considered to be any worse than the other examples he gave before? The bench, the leg fell out, and the muchen fell out of the car. All those, that's how I started the shiur today. What was the assault he gave there? Whatever, it's pretty easily remedied. It's not really called broken, it's not called fixing. So why is a watch different? He gives a very interesting answer. It's a chiddush, but if you want to go with this klalim, you have to suggest something along those lines, which is as follows. If I have a bench, missing a leg. I have a bench, I have this piece of wood, I have three legs, missing one leg, so you want to sit on it. but there's something there. I have this pillow, and the feathers started falling out. Ah, pillow I have. So the feathers are falling out. Something I have. Gewaldic. Except, you know, once in a while, the shoelace, in the natural course of events of shoelaces, they get a little twisted or tied. On this basis, he wants to justify a psak of the Shmir Shabbos, which I never understood. The Terek Chav Ches and Horan Nun Beis. Your watch stopped. Because you're allowed to, it says now...